1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 7 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Vice presidential candidates square off in debate. We have the story.
Big problems in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
I'm Rodney Price. Repairs are coming for the dam at Cheney Lake. Find out how much it will cost the city and when the work will begin. Coming up.
Mail delivery on hold for a Wichita neighborhood following an attack on a postal worker. I'm Dan O'Neill.
The nominees for vice president in the CBS vice presidential debate used a rare direct exchange to air grievances against one another.
Republican J.D. Vance claimed Vice President Kamala Harris used big tech to censor people. Democrat Tim Walz countered with former President Trump not accepting the last general election results.
Did he lose the 2020 election?
Tim, I'm focused on the future. Did Kamala Harris censor Americans from speaking their mind in the wake of the 2020 COVID situation?
That is a damning non-answer.
It's a damning non-answer for you to not talk about censorship.
Each candidate said their argument was among the biggest threats to American democracy. The Vance-Walz debate, likely the last meeting of candidates on issues before America votes November 5th. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
Israel's prime minister says Iran will pay for bombarding the country with missiles.
Around 180 missiles were fired by Iran at Israel on Tuesday, and Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, says that was a big mistake. U.S. Navy ships in the Mediterranean helped shoot down the missiles. They resulted in the death of one person, a Palestinian in the West Bank. A school in central Israel and a restaurant in Tel Aviv were hit. Iran says the barrage was a response to what it calls Israel's aggressive acts, including killing Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah. Israel has hit Lebanon's capital, Beirut, with a fifth night of airstrikes. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
Authorities releasing the name of a man killed in a traffic accident near Hayesville. Two other people were injured in the crash at 95th and South Broadway. Investigators say 24-year-old Curtis Vickers was traveling southbound when he crossed the center line into oncoming traffic and hit another vehicle head-on. Vickers was dead a short time later.
The Wichita City Council has approved funding for repairs to the dam at Cheney Lake.
The project will cost the city $13.85 million. Portions of the dam have seen significant erosion and decay since the last repairs were completed in 2000. Gary Jansen with Public Works says drought conditions will allow for the repairs to be done without lowering the lake level more.
If there's any silver lining to this drought at all, it's the ability to go in and make these repairs now. The current water level is almost a foot and a half below where the proposed repairs begin.
The city hopes to have an agreement in place within 60 days and start construction soon after. The repair work will start above the water line and work upward. Should the lake level rise before the work is done, the city plans to have a clause in the contract to bring the work to a halt. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
Mail delivery has been suspended in a Wichita neighborhood on the west side after two men assaulted a postal carrier who used pepper spray to stop large dogs from chasing him.
A Postal Service spokesperson says residents in the 41 affected addresses must now pick up their mail at the nearest post office. Police say the worker was chased by a pair of dogs while delivering the mail. After using pepper spray, he was followed for blocks by two men who then assaulted him. Police are looking for the men. No arrests have been made. Officials say the mail stoppage will be in place until the situation is resolved. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
President Biden set to visit North and South Carolina as communities struggle from the impacts of Hurricane Helene.
The White House says President Biden will take an aerial tour of the areas impacted by Hurricane Helene and receive briefings while greeting first responders and local officials, the president promising to be with the impacted states every step of the way.
This is a storm of historic proportion. Nothing like this has happened in the region since the turn of the 20th century.
The White House says Vice President Harris will travel to Georgia before also heading to North Carolina. So far, thousands of workers have been sent to the six states impacted by the hurricane, including 1,200 to North Carolina. In Washington, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:05, 5 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Kansas City Royals in the postseason, game one yesterday afternoon. We've got highlights coming up in sports.
A sheep is wrangled after headbutting a Michigan State trooper. That story and more just ahead on the KNSS Morning News. Steve and Ted in the morning, KNSS, 7:09 now. The city of Wichita has been awarded a $1 million grant by the U.S. Department of Transportation to help with traffic flow in the 21st and Broadway area of North Wichita. The city will hire a consultant to complete a planning study for the corridor to find solutions to lessen the impacts of train traffic. The study will look at the frequency and duration of trains traveling in the area. Study should begin January 1st and be completed within 16 to 18 months. It will include recommendations to lessen the impacts the trains have on motorists.
Federal prosecutors have filed a new indictment against a couple of former Louisville police officers.
Both ex-cops are accused of falsifying a warrant that led police to Breonna Taylor's door before they shot her dead. This new indictment comes weeks after a federal judge threw out major felony charges against former Detective Joshua Janes and former Sergeant Kyle Meany. The new indictment says both former officers knew the affidavit they used to get a search warrant contained false and misleading information that was out of date and left out material information necessary for probable cause. Chris DeMeo, Fox News.
Two leaders of a Penn State fraternity get short jail terms for the hazing death of a pledge in 2017.
Brendan Young, former president of the now-defunct chapter of Beta Theta Pi, and vice president and pledge master Daniel Casey were each sentenced to 2 to 4 months in jail. Each will be eligible for work release. Young and Casey pleaded guilty to misdemeanor charges in July. They were the last two defendants to be sentenced in a case that prompted state lawmakers to crack down on hazing. Prosecutors say 19-year-old Timothy Piazza of northern New Jersey consumed at least 18 drinks in less than 2 hours. He later fell down a flight of stairs and died after frat members failed to call for help for hours. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
A sheep is wrangled after headbutting a state trooper in Michigan.
It's one eventuality not taught in the police academy. A mid-Michigan state trooper was dispatched to a report of a sheep on the loose. As he tried to corral the animal, it decided to ram his legs, pushing the officer back. But not for long, the trooper grabbing the sheep by the scruff of its neck and then gently placing it in the back of his car, and all of it, of course, caught on camera, then gleefully posted to the state police X account. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:11, 11 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Traffic right now in the Wichita area. The volumes are starting to pick up. Some heavier traffic north and southbound on K-42. This is pretty close to I-235. And remember, just a little ways away from there, we've got a stalled out vehicle northbound on I-235 down by West Street. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
Now the KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Ronnell Williams. Good morning, Ronnell.
Good morning, Steve and Ted. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing fine, but I probably should have worn some sort of sweater or something this morning instead of my short-sleeve polo shirt, right?
Man, yeah, you can definitely feel it this morning. Really hoping a lot of kids that, you know, that were waiting at the bus stop bundled up or, you know, are bundled up if they're still out there waiting. I just took a quick step outside myself just a moment ago and, yeah, still pretty chilly out there. When it comes to a lot of us needing at least some form of long sleeves, that's probably what you're going to want to grab before you head out the door as we kickstart the second day of October. So while it's going to feel like October this morning, I can't say the same for the afternoon. We'll actually experience a warmer day compared to yesterday. Yesterday was gorgeous. Just to take a quick step back, 74 degrees for the high in Wichita. Now, our northerly switch of our winds really helping out with that fall feel. And of course, we're still feeling the effects of that recent cold front this morning. But then our winds, they've already switched back out of the south. So it's only a matter of time before that breeze starts to pick back up to around 10 to 25 miles an hour. And that strong south flow today going to bring those temperatures all the way back up to a high of 85 degrees later on this afternoon under a mostly sunny sky. We're going to stay clear tonight. That breeze should back off at least a little bit during the night. Low of 60 degrees, not going to be as chilly early tomorrow morning. And then more sunshine for our Thursday, which is actually going to be even warmer than today. 92 degrees for a high in Wichita. These days, as we're now into October, our record highs usually around the middle 90s. Our record high for today is 95 degrees. So just kind of putting in perspective for you this unseasonable warmth that we're going to experience. It should be a little bit cooler after another front comes through by Friday, dipping us back down to a high of 85, but you know, still going to be warm out there. And then a stronger south breeze just giving us another uptick in our temperatures by the time we get into Saturday, which is going to be windy and warmer. 91 degrees for the high. Another late weekend front comes through, dropping us down to 84. Pleasant start to the first full week of October next Monday with a high of 79. And then we're just going to gradually warm back up through the low and middle 80s after that. Right now we're at 48 degrees. Winds light out of the south for now anyway at 6 miles an hour, and skies still yielding very little cloud cover. So more sunshine on the way, and I'm not really seeing much end to that, at least over the next 7-8 days.
All right. Thank you, Ronell. The KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Ronell Williams.
Yeah, we haven't had temperatures in the 40s since early May. It's been 5 months.
Been a while. Yeah. Yes, sir. This is the second day of October on this date in 2016. Hall of Fame baseball broadcaster Vin Scully signed off for the last time, ending 67 years behind the mic for the Dodgers as he called a 7-1 loss to the Giants in San Francisco.
Oh, when you said signed off for the last time, I thought maybe you were speaking metaphorically.
No.
Okay.
It was the last,
his last game.
Finally retired.
After being on the job for
of this one team 67 years.
Yeah. Imagine.
Here's a birthday for you. Kelly Ripa. 54.
Oh, she's quite perky.
Oh, she is perky. Mm-hmm. Live with Kelly and Mark in various formats. Her co-hosts have included Regis Philbin.
Yeah.
Michael Strand, Ryan Seacrest, and her husband, Mark Consuelos. Ryan Seacrest, is that the guy on Spin now, Wheel of Fortune?
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah, I kind of lost interest after Regis left.
Well, yeah. Really? Yeah. 9 years ago today, 2015... You and I were returning home from the Marconi Awards in Atlanta. We did see the Coca-Cola Museum.
We went to the Coca-Cola Museum. We had some time to kill before our flight.
And then we flew to Midway Airport in Chicago, changed planes there to come home. And on the flight from Chicago, who was on the flight with us?
It was the famous.
Wichita Mayor Jeff Longwell.
Yeah, we ran into Jeff Longwell. He was munching on popcorn in the Midway Airport there.
And? Willie Jeffries. Former Wichita State football coach Willie Jeffries.
Former Shocker football coach.
Yeah. It was great to see him.
Who was heading to Wichita for some sort of event.
Something going on.
But yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. He is Willie Jeffries, such a delightful man. If you've never met him, wow.
It's like there's some big time personalities on this plane.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If the paparazzi.
The mayor, you and me, Coach Jeffries, it's huge.
What could be bigger than that? All right, 717. And let's talk just a little bit about this. Study that the city council is approving for 21st and Broadway to see why there's a traffic ball up there.
Yeah, I wish they'd pay me for the next year and a half to tell them why the traffic's all messed up there.
Yeah.
It's because there's 15 train tracks.
Let's go out there and count the tracks.
Yeah. See, I just did it, and they're paying consultants for the next year and a half to tell them that.
I think we solved it right there.
I think I just solved it in 5 seconds.
So that's the north part of the border, or the border between East and West Wichita used to be at 13th Street, at Central, and all on and on. But we got a couple of those solved a few years ago.
Yeah, Bob Knight
went to bat.
Mayor Bob Knight and his bunch were able to get some overpasses built. Hayesville built an overpass.
Yeah.
But
21st
you couldn't
was
get
still
past 13th. There's too many tracks up at 21st to do something like that.
So it's still there.
Still there.
Still a problem.
Still a problem. And I don't know what they're going to say a year and a half from now. It's going to change that.
Yeah, obviously. Guess what?
There's a ton of trains that come through there every day.
If you tried to build a flyover,
that would cost about
$85 billion.
More than that, probably. That's why it's not solved. It would cost too much money. A fortune.
So I guess you're not going to regulate the trains because they come when they want.
Trains do what they want to do.
Yeah,
yeah.
So they just kind of thumb their nose at you, and away they go. But it's a problem. It's been a problem for
it has for a long time, my entire life.
Our lives.
Yeah.
And it's because you got too many train tracks.
Well, let's pay a consultant to tell them that for the next year and a half.
Why don't you save the money and just give it to us?
I agree. That's what I'm saying.
We just told you the problem. Send us, how much do we need? $50,000 be enough for you?
No, we should definitely go six figures on
six,
this.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, there it is. If you at City Hall, and of course, our good friend,
the city manager,
Robert Layton, has probably got the checkbook out right now, signing a couple of big checks for us. For solving that problem. We didn't solve it. But we didn't solve it. They're going to solve it. They're going to find out what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. 719, Stephen. Maybe with these ports closed, they're not going to have any train traffic out there. 719, Stephen, Ted. Let's take a look at sports this morning with Ted Woodward. Ted.
Major League Baseball opening round of the playoffs yesterday afternoon for the Kansas City Royals. First playoff game in 9 years for the Royals. Taking on the Baltimore Orioles in game one of a best of three series. Oh, man. Not a lot of runs in this one. Literally. There was only one run. The Royals did get a run in the top of the sixth inning. Mikel Garcia got a one-out walk, stole a base, went third on a ground out, and then scored on a hit from Bobby Witt Jr. 1-0. Still 1-0 in the bottom of the ninth inning. The Royals trying to hold on. Denny Matthews with the call yesterday on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Everybody standing here at Camden Yards. This game down to one pitch. Hirsig brings it in, and there's the last pitch on a swing and a miss. And the Royals have shut out Baltimore 1-0. The Royals scored that run, as I just mentioned, in the sixth inning. They made it stand up. And there's something about the Royals in Baltimore in postseason. The Royals have their number. And the big number today is 1. 1-0. Royals.
Woo! Yeah. Bobby Witt Jr., the number one hitter in Major League Baseball this season, drove in that run. He spoke after the game on ESPN.
And Bobby, Cole Reagan's six shutout innings tonight leaves with calf cramps. When you see him coming out of the game after only 80 pitches there, how are you feeling in the dugout?
He did unbelievable job by him. The whole pitching staff this whole entire year, they're the reason, one of the reasons why we're here today. But we knew what our bullpen can do. We knew what they can do. They've been doing lately. And so put the trust in there and just get the next guy up and do that same thing we've been doing, one pitch at a time.
All right, so there you have it. Cole Reagan's working six scoreless innings. The bullpen, three pitchers work three more scoreless innings. The Royals get the shutout 1-0 in front of 41,000 fans in Baltimore. By the way, the Orioles have now lost 9 straight playoff games. So their fans are frustrated. All right, here we go. This is a best of three series. So game two today, the Royals at Baltimore. The Royals have won 5 of their last 7. If they win today, they advance and win that series. So a lot on the line today. The season's on the line for Baltimore. The Royals and the Orioles, live coverage at 3 o'clock this afternoon. First pitch at 3:30 p.m., and that is on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Seth Lugo, 16 wins and a 3.0 ERA, is on the mound for the Royals this afternoon. By the way, in the other playoffs in the major leagues, 3 of the 4 visiting teams won, including the Royals. San Diego Padres were the only home team that got a win yesterday.
How about that?
Yeah, the visitors were getting it done.
Yeah.
And, of course, it was on this date in 1970, the Wichita State football plane crash in Colorado en route to Utah State. The Shocker football plane crash was 54 years ago on this day. That's sports with Steve and Ted.
And we're going to have some more about that coming up here in a few minutes. We're going to talk with a guy I was working with at the time. We're going to have some memories of how it was covered by the media. It's coming up around 7:35 this morning. All right, 7:22 now. Keep it here for a house call for health. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. That's on the way with Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS.
This is Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward, 7:30 on this Wednesday morning, 48 degrees. The CBS vice presidential debate touched on the most significant international event Tuesday, missiles from Iran fired on Israel.
In addressing the Iranian attack, the Democratic VP nominee Tim Walz said leadership in the world by the United States helped avert more tragedy.
Along with our Israeli partners and our coalition, able to stop the incoming attack. But what's fundamental here is that steady leadership is going to matter.
Republican VP nominee J.D. Vance said if it came to any preemptive strike by Israel on Iran,
it is up to Israel what they think they need to do to keep their country safe, and we should support our allies wherever they are when they're fighting the bad guys.
Iran's attack was in retaliation for an Israeli strike that killed a Hezbollah leader. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
A 12-year-old girl is recovering after she was hit by a car while walking to school yesterday morning in the 3600 block of West Maple. The girl was hospitalized in critical condition with injuries to her stomach and leg.
It's time for Sedgwick County to look for a new office space. County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty tells KNSS News the county has been leasing space in the Ruffin Building at Douglas and Broadway to house the county administrative offices. Beatty says the commission will move to issue bonds to finance new offices.
When you're looking at between 65,000, 70,000, almost 80,000 square feet of needed space, there's just not a lot of options in the downtown government core that can fulfill that need.
Beatty commented during his weekly appearance on the Steve and Ted in the Morning Show on KNSS.
A man in Texas who stabbed his twin 16-year-old girls to death 35 years ago was executed by chemical injection yesterday.
61-year-old Garcia Glenn White was convicted for the murders of his daughters and their mother in their Houston apartment back in 1989. White actually confessed to murdering five people in a six-year period, but prosecutors only pursued charges for the teenage girls. His execution went forward after the U.S. Supreme Court rejected three last-ditch appeals. While strapped to the execution table, White apologized to some of his victims' family members, saying he was sorry for all the pain he had caused. He's the sixth prisoner to be put to death in the U.S. in less than 2 weeks. Ted Lindner, Fox News.
A teenager charged in the murder of a mail carrier.
48-year-old Octavia Redmond was doing her job, delivering mail in her route on the south side of Chicago in July when a 15-year-old suspect got out of a stolen SUV and shot her multiple times at close range. Redmond later died at the hospital, according to the U.S. Postal Service. U.S. Marshals caught up with his kid in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and arrested him on a murder warrant. This teen's been charged as a juvenile with first-degree murder and was ordered held without bond after a court appearance Tuesday. Police say they used private and police cameras to identify this young alleged murderer and trace his movements before and after the crime. John Saucier, Fox News.
Two people were arrested in connection with more than 30 burglaries across Southern California Monday. Fox's Haley Winslow has the story.
Strewn across the table at the Fontana police station, stolen evidence that detectives say connects two criminals to a massive crime spree. 10 different California license plates, an AR-15, 9mm, liquor, tobacco, cash, lottery tickets. San Bernardino County Sheriff's investigators say it snowballed from an early September burglary in Fontana. The same MO, overnight, and after the same items, even stealing ATM machines. Investigators say LA residents 21-year-old Marvin Denson and 23-year-old Justin Clayton hit at least 30 businesses stretching across Southern California, from the Inland Empire to the high desert and dozens of communities in between.
The two are believed to have targeted mom and pop stores along the freeway. Now let's take a look at the forecast with meteorologist Ron L. Williams.
More changes ahead for your Wednesday. After a pleasant Tuesday, we're going to have a chilly start this morning as we dip down into the 40s, but then back up to an above average high of 85 degrees. Going to be a warmer afternoon out there with a southerly breeze at 10 to 25 miles an hour. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ronald Williams.
Now clear, 48 degrees. We have a south wind at 6 miles per hour. Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS, 7:34 now on this Wednesday morning, October 2nd, 2024, on this date in 1970, one of two chartered twin-engine planes flying the Wichita State University football team to Utah crashed into a mountain near Silver Plume, Colorado, killing 31 of the 40 people on board. And we have a guest this morning with us. This morning, Chuck Schechter is with us from Dallas. And Chuck, at that time when that happened, it's You and I were working together. You had hired me a couple of months before that, and this was, I don't know, what, about 12 o'clock in the afternoon? I don't know where I was.
Early afternoon. Yeah.
I guess I was having lunch or something. You called and said, hey, you need to get out to the university. Tell us about it.
KWBB at the time. Yeah, well, that was a shocking day and a rough, rough day for sure, rough weeks to follow. I think Dr. Clark Allbirn was the university president at the time, and it was just such a horrible, horrible event. The plane apparently, I think I still have the NTSB final report on that. The plane was flying with football team in Colorado. They went into a box canyon to do some sightseeing and realized that they were too heavy and couldn't fly up over the mountains, and they were boxed in, did not have enough enough room to turn around to go back.
Yeah.
And when they tried that, it was called a pre-stall buffet, which the plane shakes and gets down to stall speed, and just finally crashed.
That was a beautiful day. I remember that. And you just called me up and said, get out to the university, get out to Levitt Arena and see if there's anybody there. I'll give you a statement. And nobody would, except I did talk to a woman who's, she was waiting there. Her husband actually, it turned out, she didn't know at the time. Her husband, I think his name was Mal Kimmel. He had been killed, and got her interview back, put it on the air. And of course, then the aftermath from that, Chuck, if you remember, you spent a lot of time, a lot of your time over the next few weeks at the NTSB hearings. Those were out at Wichita State, weren't they?
They were, yeah, indeed. Yeah, the funny thing was, in sitting in the press room, I got talking to this guy sitting there. He was one of the surviving pilots. So it was kind of a surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were very, very detailed, very lengthy hearings they had at Wichita State.
The plane was not in the best shape, was it? It was an older twin engine. I guess it had some pretty good oil leakage and things like that, right?
Well, yeah. Well, they leased it out of a company in Oklahoma City, and there was question about the weight. There might have been too much weight for the plane. Now that was part of the problem.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, that was my first story that I got to help. A big story that I got to help cover in my career, and then you went on and we worked together later at another place, and you retired in Dallas, where you've been. You got to be a helicopter traffic reporter for several years.
Yeah, for 6.5 years, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
Yeah,
matter of fact, I learned to fly the helicopter during that time.
Oh, did you really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
I'm glad you didn't offer to take me for a ride because I wouldn't have gone.
You sound like my wife.
Do you know a guy named Brian Priddy?
Yes, I do. Very worked for Ryan at CBS.
Do you know that he is? He's one of our officers in our company here. And I've met him. I got to know him just the last couple of weeks.
He's a great guy. Great guy.
All right. Well, that's enough of the personal stuff. But that was a big day. And by the way, they do. Of course, I don't know if you've been back, but they built a memorial out at a structure at Wichita State University. And 9 o'clock this morning, there'll probably be a wreath lay. There is every year a wreath laying and a ceremony around 9 o'clock this morning. So most folks haven't forgot the big day there.
That's great.
Thanks for being with us this morning, Chuck.
Absolutely. Take care.
All right. Chuck Schechter, who was the guy who hired me in radio. He's still around. He's got to be a helicopter traffic guy. He thoroughly enjoyed doing that, by the way. Steve's Head of the Morning now, 7:39 here at KNSS. Shelley and I have had a little problem the last month, Ted.
Yeah?
Our Gen Air range gave out.
Yeah, you've had the oven and stove problem.
Yeah, stove problem, and we got one ordered, and it just got in the other day. Anyway, we've been without a range to cook on for a month. And yesterday, the guys from Able Electric showed up and installed it for us. It's in a what you call a kitchen? What would you call that counter in the middle like that?
The island?
The island, yeah. The little island. Now you've seen it probably. So they had to install it and hook it all up and everything. And last night, Shelley and I cooked some eggs on there. Just some fried eggs and some hash browns. Kind of fun.
It's probably one of those deals where you're like, I don't use that much. Yeah. I can make it for a month. And then every day you're like, ooh, I don't
absolutely
have a stove.
That's what we found out. Now, if you don't have it.
You're like, ooh.
You don't miss it. All right. Let's see. 7:40, Stephen, 10 in the morning here.
So that was your first meal with your new stove.
The new stove.
You made eggs.
Yeah.
Is there any splatter?
No.
Okay,
much.
Good.
Not much.
Good.
I got a little.
You don't want to start getting it dirty.
Got a little bit, but
is it fancy? Is it like induction heating, or is it just another one?
I don't know. What the heck is that?
Induction heating?
No, it's just.
No, never mind.
It's just, you know, it's nice. It's pretty, and it works really well.
Oh well, that's all it counts.
That's all I care. Don't leave anything on top of those burners because it'll burn them up in a minute. All right, Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. And coming up, we got the Wichita Business Journal update this morning. A local firm, Medical Provider Resources, making a leadership change. And we're going to tell you about that coming up. Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. Steve and Ted in the morning, KNSS, 7:45 here on this Wednesday morning. Three big things. Three. Wichita City Council approves millions to repair Cheney Lake Dam.
Two.
Problems linger in Hurricane Helene cleanup. More than 160 counted dead.
One.
Vice presidential candidates debate immigration, abortion, the economy, and more. Three big things. Steve and Ted on KNSS.
Some heavy traffic volumes, and it's slowing things down in a few areas. Northbound on K-15, right around 47th Street South. Northbound on I-135 through some road construction. Starts around 8th and 9th Street, goes all the way back a little ways past Kellogg. Just watch for slowdowns in those areas. Traffic update from 98.7 at 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
Sunny today with a high of 83 degrees. Mostly clear tonight, the overnight low 61. And for Thursday, sunny and warmer. Tomorrow's high up to 92 degrees. Now a clear sky, south wind at 6 miles per hour. 48 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Hatman Jack's new fall line of hats has arrived. See why people from around the nation make Hatman Jack's their destination. Open Tuesday through Saturday at the Clock Tower in Delano. For the largest selection of Western hats, fedoras, and caps, see the experts at Hatman Jack's. Steve and Ted in the morning, one art tool will soon be upgraded with AI.
Fox on Tech.
Artificial intelligence comes to the graphics program you forgot about. Before you paid for Photoshop or made use of the open source clone GIMP or subscribed to Canva, you made some digital art or cropped your on-screen photos with Microsoft Paint. It's part of the Windows operating system. Microsoft reveals that the classic art app will soon get equipped with AI as part of the operating system's integration of Microsoft's Copilot tool. Two features promise to be popular. One is Generative Erase, which will work similar to Google's Magic Erase on its Pixel phones, which can remove a subject, even a person, from a photo you've taken. And Generative Fill will allow people to have the AI create backgrounds and other elements to add into photos and painted creations. But its super resolution feature may be the biggest hit, as the AI will be able to take blurry pictures and put them in focus. With Fox on Tech, I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Conflict in the Middle East has Wall Street investors worried.
Stocks falling on this first day of trading for a new month and quarter as investors' worries worsened about the escalating tensions in the Middle East. Tech was the worst performing sector while energy advanced as oil prices surged. Gold prices nearing new highs on safe haven demand. And Apple shares fell over 3% after Barclays analysts said they are seeing signs of softening demand for the tech giant's newly released iPhone 16. The Dow winners, Caterpillar, Visa, and Home Depot. The Dow decliners, Apple, Microsoft, and IBM. The Dow falling 173 points, the Nasdaq down 279, S&P 500 lower by 54. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
In local business news from the Wichita Business Journal, Medical Provider Resources, considered the state's largest medical credentialing and insurance enrollment company, announcing a new CEO. It will take over following Vicky Bond's retirement at the end of the year. Marla Boer, who for the last 15 years has served as Director of Medical Staff Services at Hutchinson Regional Healthcare System, will begin transitioning into the CEO role starting on October 14th, according to a news release. Bond, MPR's only leader since the company's launch 13 years ago, said earlier this year the decision to step down was spurred by a desire to travel with her husband and spend more time with the couple's grandchildren in Kansas City.
Andover is attempting to make development easier and faster for developers. This month, the City of Andover's council unanimously approved changes to its policy on public infrastructure financing for developments up for special assessments. Now, the changes will reduce the financial guarantee requirements of developers and modify bond servicing items and terms for the city, among other things. And that's a local business update this morning from the Wichita Business Journal with Steve and Ted. All right, Ted, watching some of the television coverage last night on the flooding, and it's devastating. There's no doubt about it.
Awful.
And they've got 160 count on the dead now, and there'll be 100 or more, maybe more, because there are a lot of people still missing.
There's still people that are unaccounted for.
And they were interviewing folks and on the television network, and one of the themes that I saw coming out was, where's our help, where's our help? And it's just, apparently it's just too big. It just covers too big an area. And it just overwhelmed everybody. Those things, a natural disaster like that. Something like that. Oh, everything breaks down. They didn't have any. I don't think they had any internet, things like that. As Tony Deusing, our brand manager at KNSS, pointing out yesterday, looks like they did have radio down there.
Yeah.
Good old fashioned AM radio that didn't. Mm-hmm. There's where you could pick up some information, at least find out what was going on. But
yeah, because if you don't have. Well, you have a radio with batteries in it, because if you don't have power, you're not on the internet. I heard the cell phone towers were down, and nobody in Asheville could even make a phone call because there's no cell service was gone. So
situation. You don't want to think about it, but we all should, and that is, what would you do?
Well, that's what they always say, is you should plan for something like this.
You know,
but
my brother.
Even if you know that's coming, you're like,
yeah.
You don't think that you're going to lose cell service, or that your town is going to be entirely cut off.
What would happen if Wichita got hit by 30 inches of rain in 3 hours? We'd be overcome.
We'd be in trouble. Yeah,
we've got all we've got some big ditch and all that, but we'd still have some big, big problems. And you and I would probably be in here, waiting around up to our ankles, trying to be on the radio and helping people out. We do have a plan to do that, by the way.
Oh, good.
We give a company plan.
Well, what was it, 2010, when we had the big ice storm?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, we were without power for the better part of, some people, the better part of, almost 2 weeks, some people.
Yep.
Yeah.
But there are times.
Things were rough.
I think they're seeing down there at times, and bless their hearts, these folks are saying, nobody's here to help me, except, a lot of volunteers have gone down there. People from Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas. Red Cross and other people, retirees, they just go down and help when those things happen. Mm-hmm. Red Cross is really good about that. I'm sure they'd like to have a donation if you got time and a couple of bucks. They'd like to have something like that. But I thought about that when I retire. If I someday retire, would I want to try to do something like that? I'm sure my wife wouldn't let me. But because, that'd be kind of tough. You have to live outdoors and you'd be in the same shape the people are in down here. Where are you going to get some food? Where are you going to get this? At any rate, President Biden is supposed to be down there, today, to look around and see what he can do. And there are times when even FEMA and the federal government can't do just a whole lot for you. What I really thought was bad was the family they kept interviewing. There were two women who were missing, and they showed their pictures, and they were in, and it was like, what good is that going to do? I mean, we can't – nobody's going to – when you find that person, it's going to be bad news.
It's sad, yeah.
You finally find – because that kind of water washing away houses, and I'm a pretty good swimmer, but I looked at that water and said, man, I would be in big trouble. Anybody would.
Well, roads and bridges.
Bridges are out.
Washing
roads are out.
Away anything in its path.
Anyway, we feel for the people involved in that, and good luck to you. Hope everything comes out good. All right. Steve and Ted here, 7:53 on a Wednesday morning, and see what else we got going. I'm hearing this kind of secondhand, but my granddaughters, of course, they are the twins. They go to Bishop Carroll High School, and one of them's a cheerleader this year, but they're both pretty athletic. Apparently, they're going to have their Powder Puff football game this afternoon.
What does that entail?
The junior and the senior girls go at it. I think it's a flag deal.
Okay.
It's not a tackle. I don't know what time it starts, but I want to try to be there. Because I think both my granddaughters are pretty good athletes. I want to see how they do in the football field. Of course, they have two older brothers that have pushed them around for their entire lives. They might be pretty tough.
Well, a little advantage there. Yeah.
Well, did you ever do that when you were in school? Did they have powder puff?
No.
No. We did at West my senior year. We had a powder puff game. I don't remember much about it. I helped coach, but I think the seniors, we were juniors, and I think the seniors beat us pretty badly. So anyway, powder puff football. Let's see. Oh, talking about school, this is National Walk to School Day.
National Walk to School Day.
Yep, one of our best forms of exercise. And did you walk to school?
I did not. I've told you this story before.
How far was it then?
Well, it wasn't very far, but we lived south of Kellogg.
Oh, that's right.
And I went to school north of Kellogg. And
oh, yeah.
You had to cross the Kellogg when there was a stoplight at Kellogg and Bluff.
Yeah, right.
And that's what I would have had to cross to walk to school. And my mom and dad were paralyzed with fear.
Oh, yeah.
Because every day, cars going westbound on Kellogg and semis would just run that red light because they wanted to get through that light because it was the last stoplight before you hit the expressway and go downtown.
So plus, you could have those
cars ran that light going westbound constantly.
You'd have the sun
in
your
parents
eyes.
Were afraid that my kid's going to be crossing the street there at Kellogg and Bluff and some car is going 50 miles an hour is going to kill him.
Well,
so I didn't walk to school.
I walked to Jefferson part of the time. But it was 7 blocks from our house, and
there's a lot of times walk.
Just mom said, yeah, we'll load you kids up and get you up there. The time I lived in Kingman, we were 3 blocks away. That was
easy. Oh, that's easy. Yeah.
Dodge City, again, 7 blocks away. So some of the time, mom would give us a lift. And then when we moved back to Wichita, we lived on Peterson, 1 block from school. I could almost wait till that right bell was ringing so I could run out the door.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
Today is Walk to School Day. I tell you kids, you know, it was 7 miles uphill both ways when I was a kid, but it's not true. All right, Steve at 10 in the morning here on KNSS. Stay with us in the 8 o'clock hour. We do have some interesting things planned for you. We've got a report on last night's vice presidential debate and a plan to repair the Cheney Lake Dam. Tell you about that. Ted has sports coming up.
Yeah, as we get to talking about the Royals playing a postseason game for the first time in 9 years, we'll have highlights and reaction coming up in sports.
Plus entertainment news, The Blur.
Oh, I think we got some good stuff today. Got a good singer anniversary, good movie anniversary. Looking forward to it. Don't miss it. That's entertainment news in The Blur at 8:35.
And as always, traffic and weather in the 8 o'clock hour with Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.